Let's all stand if you're able and welcome the man of God to come preach the word of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
Thus saith the Lord, you operate off the basis of your limitations. But what I have allowed you to do is come into the atmosphere where I have no limitations. For as I said unto you through my prophet Isaiah, that of my kingdom, it would be limitless, without limitation, no end. And I say unto you this day, you have learned to live from end to end. But I am going to teach you how to walk, speak, and live, and learn without limitation. For as I told you, where liberty is where I am. My spirit is there. Liberty is the land of no limitation. And I have exposed you to a daily access of no limitation, where my kingdom can have free reign. Learn to live without the lines that have vexed you from the conditions of the earth, and reach up into the realm that I have opened to you, and learn my ways that are above your ways, and learn my thoughts that are above your thoughts. And I will teach you the kingdom of no limits. For I, the Lord your God, cannot be limited by anything or anyone. And you are my children. It is my good pleasure to show you and give you the kingdom, saith the Lord of hosts. Would you receive that of the Lord right now? Now open your spirit and receive that of the Lord. Go ahead, open your spirit, receive that of the Lord. You may be seated. I wanted them to write that prophecy out because that came fresh off the Lord's anointing about an hour ago into this sanctuary, and I wanted you to capture what the Holy Ghost is trying to impart. There is a lot of angels moving in this room right now. There's a lot of activity happening, so I want you to get real aware real quick and take off the cloak of common, because you're no longer standing in a common place. You're not sitting in a common place. You are not in a common place, people. I'm telling you, there is movement all over this house, and angels don't show up just to watch us. They show up because there's an assignment from heaven that's been iterated off the throne, and God has sent an appointment here. Somebody's going to get set free. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get a word, and somebody's going to get delivered in this house. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of praise. Somebody go ahead and loose your spirit in the house of faith and the house of praise. Let the Holy One of Israel, who has come to do the impossible, find access with you and through you and to you in this house. Clap again, lift again, loose yourself again. Lord, Jesus goes to Caesarea Philippi. He is sitting around with the disciples there in the center of an area that's full of pagan worship. And Jesus looks at that group, some educated, some not educated, some business owners, others different life structures, and he says, who do men say that I am? They got opinions about all these other pagan gods, but what are your ears hearing? What are your eyes seeing? What are your hands sensing? What is your spirit touching? I want to see where you're at. You know, some moves of God, I'm convinced, are just to check where we're living. Just to test. Are we at the capacity to enlarge our borders? Or are we satisfied with just being saved? If you're done, you're saved, and you're happy, let's send you home. Why bother keeping you here? But if you're hungry for what God is going to do in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. What? Flesh. You understand what that means? That's not just talking about getting the Holy Ghost. That's talking about God control. That is talking about God moving the puzzle pieces so the kingdom of God fulfills what it promised to do, which puts us in an end time structure, which is prophetical. You're living in a prophetical timeline of God, and so there has to be proper alignment. And proper alignment can only happen when people are in tune with God. So he checks to see what the parameters are. Who do men say that I am? What are your resources? What's your intel? Why? Because if you don't have proper intel, you can't have proper assignment. I hear the Spirit saying, I'm about to lose proper intel, but I got to have proper alignment. Because if I can get my church properly aligned, they're going to hear right, they're going to see right, they're going to do right, they're going to speak right, and then my glory, my power, my manifestation is going to show up. That's why his first miracle was for the purpose of revealing his glory. Why? He's test marketing what's upon the earth to see who can facilitate what's upon his mind. Yeah, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elias, some he said. Who do you say? What are you tapped into? Are you spending more time on Google or with God? I want to know what you've been doing, Peter. What you've been up to? What are you tapped into? You spending more time in a chat room discussing what's wrong with everybody else? Or are you spending more time focusing on the last miracle I did, the last manifestation I just showed up with, the last thing I just imparted, the last thing I just did upon the earth? Are you realizing the pagan, amen, multiplicity of gods is always going to be around you, but you got to keep your focus because one God has just manifested himself in flesh and he's about to do the impossible. He's about to cause what can't be explained to start to process through your life, Peter. Do you understand what's about to happen to you? All of a sudden, Peter catches it. Before he can think his way out of it, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, you got it. You caught what's in the atmosphere. Let me ask you a question. Are you catching what's in the atmosphere, or are you just catching religion? Religion's like a bad fever, amen, that has its temperatures and ups and downs. But when you catch what's going on in the celestials, when you catch what's going on in the throne room, when you catch what's flowing out of God's throne, like Isaiah caught it for a moment in a glimpse when it said amen and his train filled the temple. And you know, just the touch of that train will heal your 12-year-old disease. That woman touched the hem of his garment, and in just one touch, that train healed a long-time disease. I don't know what you have in this house, but I'm going to tell you, there's a train. It's called the presence. It's called the power. It's called the glory. And you just touch it one time, it'll eradicate what's wrong. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Give a praise unto our God. Said, I know you got a hold of it. And upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matter of fact, since the door is open, let me handle and hand out a few other things I have on my mind. No, it happens when you open a door in the spirit realm. You don't just get what you're thinking about. You get stuff that was layered there, and he was just looking for somebody to give it to. You know why I like to align myself with Jesus on a daily basis? Because I never know what next surprise he's about to release. And I'd rather be first in line. Because I was always the last guy in line, especially when we played basketball. Like I knew it was coming. Like the last guy to get chosen because they had to. Like, awesome, I'm going to go play drums. Forget this sports business. That's for the birds. Some of them birds are making a lot of money. But money comes and money goes. But if you'll line yourself up with what's in this atmosphere, there's no telling what God's going to give you. God spoke to me in November. He told me, for me personally, I don't know if it's for everybody, but he told me personally, he said, I want you now to get into the mode of impartation. Now, I really didn't know what that means. I'm learning what that means. I'm not as old as I look. What are you thinking? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not 60, but I'm not 40 either. And now you wonder, and I got your attention now. It's amazing when you bring up age, how you get Americans' attention. Yeah, I'm 59. No, 58, sorry. I'll be 59 just a couple months. I know I don't look it. Mexicans age well, praise the Lord. Praise God. And now you know I'm a Mexican. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to help you with something here tonight, today. And that is the fact that God is with such a passion to give out what's in his kingdom. But he's finding few vessels to be able to do it with. And God told me, I want you to take the last 30 years of your ministry. He said, matter of fact, it's not 30 years. It's from when you were a little boy. He said, I attached stuff to you when you were in apostolic services that you didn't even know I put on you. And I started thinking back in my young age when I used to walk and prophets would come to our church. I remember one man, Brother Munoz. He was one of the most clear gifts of prophecy I've ever seen in my life. He would look at you and say, you got two bad kidneys. That takes about 8 hours. He prayed for you. You would pass out for 8 hours. You'd wake up with two brand new kidneys. That's what I was raised with. First revival we had here, somebody got a body part either reconditioned or replacement. I'd rather have a new one than refurbished. Praise the Lord. Can I get a witness in this house? I mean, if God created it once, he can create it again. He has no problem with that. I'm not sure which was harder for Malchus, for Jesus to reach down and pick up the ear that was chopped off or just create another one standing still. Not sure which is harder. You figure it out. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that he's in this room. And if he's come this close, it's because he's about to do something inside of your world. So alignment becomes huge in the kingdom of God. So what? He can display his glory, his power, and his manifested righteousness among us. And I don't know, something's coming off me. I can feel it. It's like chill bumps keep coming and going. I know what that is. That is the dimension of impartation, which means God's in a real giving mood right now. God's in a real giving mood right now. So instead of putting a request before him, why don't you just put a container before? Why don't you just open your spirit, open your mind, open your soul, open your, amen, chamber of faith and allow God to fill it, not based on your request, but based on your capacity. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. I know I'm stretching some of you, but we're just getting started. Holy Ghost, come upon us, saturate us, overtake. So I tell you what's going to happen to Peter. You don't even know what I'm giving out right now, Peter. I'll give you keys. Everybody say keys. So I'll give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Access to rooms in heaven where you never have to knock because you have a key. People that knock a lot don't have many keys. And people that have many keys don't knock a lot. Just thought I'd share that with somebody. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And soever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you realize who he told this to? He didn't tell this to somebody that was thinking about earthly dichotomies. He just finished telling this to somebody that had tapped into his world and was no longer focused on their world. You know what I hear people using this scripture for? Stuff that's going on this world without first tapping into what's going on in his world. Stop binding and loosing before you get connected. Because otherwise you'll just address what's around you and what's within your peripheral vision and not what's actually from a throne room perspective. You ever got in trouble going in spiritual battle? Don't answer the question. But the reason that you did is probably because you didn't ask for permission whether you should engage or not. Whenever they got in trouble in the Old Testament, it's because they went without permission. And just because we can, often we do. But I think it's better to inquire of the Lord to see if we ought to go to AI or not. Right? So I hear the Lord saying, it's time. I want somebody to get in alignment. And he looses this whole plethora upon Peter. Peter doesn't even know what hit him. He just knows he tapped into something beyond his ability. He tapped into impossible. When you start saying stuff and then you think about it later, but if you're a melancholy and that starts happening to you, you know you have a God moment going on. My wife said, man, I got up to speak at a ladies' meeting and God, she's extremely melancholy. She said, God totally messed up all my notes and started giving me stuff to speak that I hadn't even thought of. I thought, wow, that was the Holy Ghost. I'm married to you. What am I trying to tell you? That we are getting into the unorthodox dimension of the last days. If you can explain it, it's probably not a miracle. A doctor doing a good surgery, that's not a miracle. God just used him, amen, to help your body be able to function a little better. But when the doctor says, I don't know what happened. I don't know why this report says this and that report says you don't have anything. That's called a miracle. Why? Because that's not scientific. Amen, that's supernatural. And we're not in a science class, honey. We are in the atmosphere of the Holy One of Israel who has walked into this house to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and they ask him, after they're pricked in their hearts, what shall we do? And he says, repent. Right? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But he says, repent. He opens the gate with something that has been diluted to an action of when things go bad. Let me open the expanse of your spirit and your mind today, because I want you to not just use repentance for what you can get out of. Because here's the question God asked me. Is repentance more about what it removes, or is it more about what it unlocks? And I thought, oh, you just messed me up, God. And I started looking to see everything that repentance unlocked. Let me give you a perfect example. Your good friend, Brother Johns, if he starts saying, I repent, do you good Pentecostals say, wow, look at what he's accessing, or do you say, what has he done wrong? Exactly. That's what I thought, because that's what we all said and have said it for years. And minimized repentance into a capacity only when things are bad enough. And God began to tell me, he said, that's your initial approach. He said, but that's not the extended approach. He said, what I'm about to show you now is that every time you repent, hell, whatever he threw at you, he has to retract. Why? He said, because you cannot be connected to when you repent. You literally lose all your connecting points to the enemy. There's no attachable points when you repent. He said, once you, that's why you get quiet. See, the moment somebody brings up the subject of repentance, there go the Pentecostals. They get all, oh no, what's going on? I mean, that's the word that shuts it down. You want a no response message? Preach repentance. Why? Because we're only looking at it from one angle. We're looking at it of leaving Egypt instead of entering into Canaan. He said, but I'm going to teach you what repentance does. It's not about what you're leaving behind. It's what you're about to tap into next. Oh, clap your hands all together. Go ahead. Why? Because God's about to open a plethora of spiritual endowment in this house by the Spirit of the Lord that allows human beings to align themselves. If it was just for the sake of what it removes, that means that the greatest dimension of repentance would be tied to the greatness of your atrocity. And it could go no further. It would only be as big as the trouble you brought. But I got this inkling from the Lord. It's a whole lot bigger than that. He said, when you come for what I get rid of, that's just the starting point. While you're looking at all the mercy I had upon you. Remember what he said to Laodicea? You know, he told Smyrna not to repent. He didn't tell them repent. He told the other five churches. He didn't tell Philadelphia and he didn't tell Smyrna. I thought, why didn't he tell Smyrna? Because they had a little bit of things going on. I looked at it and it's because he told them they were going to die in 10 days. If you're going to die in 10 days, guess what? You don't have trouble repenting. The doctor says you got 10 days to live. You know what's on your mind? Oh, God, clear anything that's in the way. Ain't no trouble there. You don't have to tell somebody or preach a message on repentance. It's automatic. Even Darwin was said, hey, give me 6 more months of life or I'll take you to hell with me. Yeah, the Darwin. Voltaire. So I'm watching God open this parameter, huge. That hell has tried to minimize to only when there's a deficiency. I experienced it at my dad's church. A girl had 27 demons in her. She was 17 years of age. And when we got to the last one, it was real difficult. It took like 2.5 hours. It should have taken 27 seconds. But I didn't know what to do. I was just young and I didn't have any training by Brother Cole at that point. I know what to do now. And so we're trying to deal with her. And I remember getting to that final stage, and I just had weeping come over me and my wife, and I began to repent, and the devil spoke through the girl, and he said, do anything, but don't do that. Of course, when he said that, I thought, you're dumber than you look. I'm going to do that more. Why? Because he knew the moment we started to repent, there was disconnect. All of a sudden, a boldness came over me that I had not had for 2 hours. And I just looked at her. I said, in Jesus' name. And she jumped up talking in tongues, freed of all those spirits and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I really didn't know what that meant. So I went on several years, and I met a lady that was a witch, a high-level witch in high order, and I can't go into a lot of details with her life, but she was of a very top order because Satan has 12 in his kingdom. Wonder where he got that from. And one of them must be an angel. Just kidding. Thought you took one of ours, we'll take one of yours. And she got converted, got baptized. And I told her the story. She said, oh, that's easy. She said, the moment a person repents, the enemy loses all ability to connect with them. He's defenseless. The moment somebody repents, you just detached. Now God can give you liberty. Now God can give you peace. Now God can give you joy. Now God can give you a miracle. Now God can loose something in your mind, body, soul, spirit. Repentance is more than just getting rid of bad habits. It's not the last call option of... come down to this. It helps you hear better. When you repent, your hearing clears up. Why? Because it disconnects me from everything that's bugging me, everything that I'm going through, every pressure tank, every frustration, every irritation. It literally disconnects it. Now I can hear right. You know that filtered hearing can cause you to hear something from God that isn't what he said because you're filtering it through your condition instead of through his glory. Repentance brings you to the preface and the precipice of his glory so you can hear stuff the way it's being said. That's why he told the disciples in one writing, he didn't say, be careful that you hear. He said, be careful how you hear, not what you hear. You're going to hear it, but how you hear it depends on the filter by which it's coming. If you're hurt, you're pained, you've got issues, you've got troubles, you're going to hear one way. Then when you are in a different set of circumstances, you're going to hear another way. Why? The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You can't tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, there is a particular place that I want you to be. That's why when Peter opened his mouth, the first prerequisite, it was repent. Why? Because everything's going to change from this point forward. Your seeing's going to change. Your hearing's going to change. Your senses are going to change. Your response is going to change. Your sensitivity's going to change. Your ability's going to change. Your words are going to change. Your output and your input are going to change. Something's about to transpire. What if repentance was more than removal? What if repentance was a key? A key. Everybody say a key. Didn't he say, I'll give you the keys? Revelation 3:7, here it is. He's talking to the church of Philadelphia. And he says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. What's the key of David? I wonder what the key of David is. It ain't worship. David was a worshiper. But when you run out of worship, what's left? Repentance. When there's no more worship and there's nothing else you feel you can do, you can repent. Well, you've come down to the very bottom of life. You can't lift a hand. You can't even hardly lift a finger. You can repent. God used it as the component that regardless of where you stood, where you are, how high you've gotten in God, or how low you've gotten away from God, repent. Repentance unlocks what nothing else can unlock. See, if you make repentance easy, then people have to give up what they've fallen in love with. But if repentance is hard, then it's got to get real bad before you'll exercise anything. God talked to me about people that learn how to live with issues and they build a relationship with it. How do you fall in love with darkness? How do you fall in love with darkness? How's that possible? He's talking to the church when he gives that writing later in the epistles, and he says they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That word evil has to do with presentation. In other words, when you leave this church service, if you're showing grief, anguish, and pain, which is the root of that word evil, and you have that appearance upon you, that's why he said avoid the very appearance of. He said, that's presentation. I don't want my kids, my children, to be in the king's presence and then walk out there and have a misrepresentation of the king. Because then the subjects out there are going to go, I don't want to belong to that church. Amen. If that's the way your king treats you. He said, what happened? The way they got to that point of evil was they nurtured the pain. They nurtured the anguish. They nurtured the crisis in it because became a relationship. Repentance disconnects you from that. And some people have used repentance as such a least value that you don't get to it right away, and then that thing grows into a friend. It grows into a partner. Then it grows into a resource that you can't live without because it's become your dependency. And now we got to get counselors involved. And now we got to get therapy involved. And now we got to get clinical mental health involved. Why? Because it's attached itself. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now just came upon me extra. And what God is saying, I'm going to loose you today. When you open your mouth, I'm not going to let anything stay attached to you. Any little thing that comes, he says, a repentance, a constant lifestyle of repentance. That doesn't mean you're falling on the ground. Repentance doesn't have to do with tears and prostrate. It has to do with sincerity. You can repent and never shed a tear because you had a sincere heart before God, and that immediately opens the chamber of heaven for God to keep that thing disconnected from us. My God, somebody clap your hands. Give an ouch, a wow, a praise. A key. Why? A broken and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. And when I found out about repentance, hell has a hard time finding me. It's like I disappear, DJ. When I start repenting, it's like he's trying to shoot at a blind target. Why? Because usually his target is where the pain is magnified, or the trouble's magnified, or the issue's magnified, and he knows where to shoot at. He just keeps shooting at that same problem. Just keep shooting at that same condemnation. He just keeps shooting at that same guilt. But when I repent, I've disconnected from it, and he can't find me. Oh, my God. Literally, Jesus humbled himself to the death of the cross, right? That's why the devils couldn't know, the princes of this world. Had they known, they would not have crucified our Lord, right? How could they not know? Didn't they hear the conversations? Huh? How could they not know? How could they not? Because watch this. John, or Matthew chapter 3. Watch this. So John the Baptist, the preacher of repentance, is introducing the concept that is about to revolutionize the world. But the Pharisees and Sadducees have one concept in their brain. It's what we can get rid of, not what we can get into. And Jesus says, oh no, this is way bigger than that. I'm about to introduce an entire brand new structure and scope of what happens when you're consumed in repentance. So Jesus, amen, literally comes to John's Jordan to be baptized of him. And apparently the Sadducees and Pharisees are already there. And John looks at him and says, what are you doing here? Let me use some street terms. What's up? What you doing here? Ain't got no business here. Get out of here. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, here's your problem. Your problem is that you come here to escape wrath. Did he not tell him in the seventh verse? When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, which was the baptism of? He said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, you're not coming here to see what you can get into. You're coming here to see what you can get out of. Why? Because he can feel something coming toward the Jordan. What is it? It's something that just left the carpenter shop. It's something that just shut the doors for the last time. He's folded his apron for the last time. He's put his hammer down for the last time. It's the Jesus of Nazareth. He's making a path, and he's making a path towards John. Why? He's about to be consumed in John's baptism, and something's about to be triggered in the heavens that has not been triggered for 4,000 years. Read it, study it, check it. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, closed heaven. No hope in heaven. No hope in heaven. No hope in heaven. So Jesus says, I'm about to go get baptized of John. Why? Because he's a sinner? We know Jesus had no sin. Is that right? Jesus was perfect in all ways. He was tempted in all ways, but without sin. Here he comes, a sinless Savior, now about to start an induction of ministry that would revolutionize an entire world for worlds to come. And he says, you need to baptize me so the scripture can be fulfilled. And the Bible says that when John baptized Jesus, immediately he came up out of the water. And what happened first? The heavens opened. I thought, oh my God, I think I just found a key. Every time I want the heavens to open, every time I want access in the heavens, every time I want something to be distributed out of the throne of God, I know the exact action. I know the exact protocol. I know the exact place, amen, to come before God and get all the connections off of my mind, my spirit, my world, my flesh, and cause God to impart. I know why you're sitting there, because all your life you were taught that repentance was the object of exercise to get rid of stuff. It's what we were taught. I've got 55 plus years of church in my life. That's a lot of church. Then I met that beautiful, sweet lady. And opened the door for her. She said, I can open my own door. I said, I know. But I want to open it for you. She goes, oh, thank you. See, they're a bunch of jerks up in Boston. They wouldn't carry her suitcases. They wouldn't carry her saxophones. And here I come from Texas. With some southern hospitality, can I get a witness, Georgia? Yeah, I know what hit you, DJ. Mm-hmm. You pulled the same one. It lasts, though. Keep opening them doors. 35 years this year. Praise the Lord. It lasts. Praise the Lord. Watch what he said. Yeah, my daughter's real happy. He said to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He said, wait a minute. When you bring stuff, you're not bringing your best fruit. You're bringing your worst fruit. Isn't that right? The way we look at it, we're bringing trash. All the mistakes, all the errors, all the mess ups, all the failures. That's when we repent. He said, no. He said, I don't want you to get caught up in being self-righteous. Why? He said, I need you repenting all the time so you never think you get to a place where you don't need to. Why? He said, because that will produce self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is the quickest way to get judgmental. And in the last days, you got to loose that judgmental portion. Why? Because you can't be judging the prophetical line of the church as we get to the sound of the trump of God, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we who are remaining here on this earth shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That's coming real quick. That's coming real soon. That's happening, amen, in real fast motion. So we've got to be at the proper position. So he said, hey, even the Pharisees and Sadducees, you've got to repent. Why? I don't want you to be caught in a position where you're not aligned. That's why I repent every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth just like it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What happens next? Watch this. Forgive us our as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Watch what happens right after this. This is repentance, is it not? For thine is the kingdom and the power. Why is that just before the kingdom and the power and the glory? Because it's preparatory, not to what you're getting rid of, to what's coming. Oh, come on, I'm trying to help somebody in this house to help you understand. Your repentance isn't about what you're trying to untie, what you're trying to loose, what you're trying to get rid of. It's because God's got a destiny. God's got a future. God's got a mark upon your spirit. And he wants us to be aligned for what's coming. Oh, Sokori Bahata. Lay your hand on somebody right now. Say, God, give them a mindset, a spirit, a heart. Amen. A projection and a trajectory to be able to get in the position on a daily basis to cause the glory, the kingdom, the power to have easy access. God, so they can have easy access in their car, easy access in their home, easy access on the job, easy access in their domestic situations, easy access. Fruits meet your best production, your best performance, your best obedience, your best outer display. Bring it for repentance. There's always more. If your best stuff doesn't have repentance built into it, you can't get to the better stuff. Did you catch that? If your best stuff doesn't have repentance built into it, you can't go any further. Well, I'm saved. I heard somebody say that one time. And I could tell by their approach they were not. They looked right, but their spirit was awful. Said, I'm saved. You don't need to lay your hands on me. I said, that's fine. Bible says, touch not the unclean. I didn't say that. I'm smarter than that. But I thought it. She just looked at me. Then I turned around. Then the Holy Ghost hit me. And I said, it's because of the spirit of Jezebel that's in your life. You don't want anybody touching you because you rather touch everything else that's around you. And you don't want anybody getting to the core of your stubbornness and your lust that has almost driven you out of your second relationship. And tears just started running down her face, and then she ran out. I said, oh, God, that was an almost. We almost got to that soul. I felt bad. I really did. First, I got mad, but that's when I keep my mouth shut. I try to. I don't always. That's my wife. That's when I get in trouble. Praise the Lord. I'm just being honest, transparent. But he said, I want your fruits meet for repentance. I want your best works. You don't bring rotten fruit to God. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is don't disconnect from the repentance portion. Is there not joy in heaven when one sinner repents? I wonder what happens in heaven when one saint repents. Say, well, I don't need to repent. That's because you're looking at it at what you're getting out of instead of what you're getting into. Do you realize that when Jesus was baptized of John, which was the baptism of repentance, that he was consumed in repentance from the top of his head to the soles of his feet? And when he came out, it unlocked heaven. Thought, if it unlocks heaven, what can I unlock Monday? What can I unlock on Tuesday? What can I unlock on Wednesday? Boy, align yourself to the Spirit of God and the glory of God. And don't worry about how God's going to make it work. You put your mind on him and watch it work. But you're going to have to shake off self-confidence. You're going to have to get into God confidence. Education will give you a little bit of self-confidence. But as they say about education, get an education, but then get over it. And then start aligning yourself to God confidence. And in the God confidence, he's going to start giving you particles. Particles that are going to build you. They're going to break you first, but then they're going to build you. But don't be afraid of the breaking. The breaking is only a sign that he trusts you. And the building is a sign that he processed the breaking properly. It's the Lord talking to you. My God, clap your hands again. I feel something loose in this house right now. There's healing in this room. I said there's healing in this room. Matter of fact, don't pray for your healing. Pray for somebody else's healing. Lay your hand on somebody you don't live with right now and ask God loose healing into the fibers of their frame right now. Loose healing into their cells. Loose healing into their blood cells, their red blood cells, their white blood cells. Lord, loose healing, I pray in the name of Jesus. We are in an atmosphere of impartation. Loose healing, God, in their skeletal structure. Loose healing, God, in their body parts, in their nerves, in their specifically to a spine. I speak to my back, right, your back, left. Let it be healed. Formulation, God, right now, of the nervous system that has been discombobulated and contorted by reason of the stress. I release you from the stress. I command rest to come into its place. That's the binding. That's the loosing coming from spiritual movement in this house. That surgery is not going to happen. Shako reko soto. Say. Yendo ko soto. Thursday will be a new day for you. For the Lord has come to your house. The Lord has come to your place. And the Lord has come to heal you. Don't worry about the time. You already gave up an hour and you slept on that. Repentance. Literally, by Greek definition, focus on the need of change in view of your responsibility to deity. I thought, wow. In other words, God, I repent from asking about my stuff so I can find out about your stuff. What do you want today? What are you doing today? What's on your mind today? I repent from thinking just about me, 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 me. I mean, they got everything nowadays. iPhone, iPad, you got the iPad for the Mexicans. You got all kinds of stuff. But you know what repentance does? It takes the attention off you. And it puts it on him. And instead of your prayer request being a list, it's a worship. Boy, you got quiet. Was it something I said? Don't get too quiet. I'll know where you're living. Isn't it amazing how we have lists for God? That's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, young married couples have lists, and divorcees have lists. And I'm in neither. So I'm like, I don't want to bring a list. I mean, yeah, I have prayer requests, but I bring those up at the end of the day, not the beginning of the day. We always bring our prayer requests from our house at the end, never at the first. Why? Because I don't want to bring God my stuff when I wake up. I want to find out what's on his mind when I wake up. I want to find out what he wants to give out, what gifts unto men he wants to loose, because that gift may just have your miracle wrapped up in it. And before you get to asking, God will handle it before you even get to the end of the day. You feel that? So I'm telling you, there's angels all over this place. They didn't just come to hang out and go back. They came to stay. Why? Because glory is always preceded by angels, it appears. When you get an angelic visitation from the Lord, you can plan on glory showing up. My God, I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost right now, Pastor. I didn't even connect the two until right now. The reason all these angels have been trafficking here is because your subject is the glory. And God's getting you ready to become accustomed to the glory, not as a season, but as a lifestyle. Are you hearing the word of the Lord here right now? God's trying to tell you, I heard your prayer request. I heard your question. I heard your claim. I heard your declaration. I heard what's on your heart. I heard what your mission is. So I'm coming. I'm coming, and I'm sending angels to clear the pathway because of the glory of the Lord. Shh. Shh, somebody's coming. His shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is that prophet that Isaiah prophesied about, of whom Isaiah really didn't even know what or who he was talking about. He said, there's somebody coming. You know, to Isaiah it seemed immediate, but it was actually 700 years. Because prophecy always seems immediate. I'm going to do this like you're waiting for it tomorrow. And it don't happen for 3 years. Like, what happened? Where are you, God? You tried to interpret it in time, and he spoke it timeless. That's why prophecy only makes sense when it's being revealed. That's why you don't put a timeline on prophecy. Like early this morning, I walked into the building. God said 3,000. I said 3,000 what? He didn't finish. So my brain tried to finish it. I said, oh, no, don't go there. Is that $3,000? Is that 3,000 churches? Is that 3,000 people? Is that 3,000? What? He just said 3,000. I'm putting 3,000. Would you just pray for somebody right now and say, God, multiply it by 3,000, whatever it is. Don't try to dictate what it is. Just pray that word. That's the word that came into my spirit. I wasn't asking for a word. I just in the presence of the Lord, 3,000. Lord, I pray the multiplication of 3,000 upon my brother. I pray the multiplication of 3,000 upon your family. I pray kotokoreko shotalabahaya. I pray the multiplication of 3,000 upon this church. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh. I thought, God, what are you trying to show us? He said, I'm trying to keep my people in a position because of so many things I want to give, and I don't find them positioned often where I can give it at any moment, at any time. He said, I need a consistency of positioning so I can consistently give out. I wonder how much he has to give. I wonder how much he's actually trying to give out to us. And we're limiting him with our needs. Repentance disconnects us from that. Three things happen. Heaven's opened. Everybody say heaven's open. Say spirit descended. And there was a voice. I said three things that happened when Jesus came up out of the water. Why? Because when God literally finds a human being that consumes themselves in repentance, there is joy in the presence of the angels or in front of the angels. Jesus is jumping up and down in a literal Greek sense. Isaiah starts out, comfort ye. Chapter 40, verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. If repentance gives you a double portion, what does consistent alignment bring? Said the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. We know that's John the Baptist he's talking about. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a what? A what? A what? Highway. He said, what's coming is bigger than a one-way street. See, repentance in its current understanding gives you a one-way street, just what you're getting out of. He said, nah, this is bigger than that. I'm going to need an eight-lane road. I'm going to need a highway. I don't want one little dirt road path that it's just an exit strategy every time you use it. I need this thing as such a wide paradigm thing shift in your brain that when you begin to repent, you're not thinking of just what you're getting rid of. You're thinking about what am I about to access? What am I about to step in? I know a new dimension's coming because I can feel movement. I start repenting. Why? Because it's a preparatory for what I'm about to get handed. God's about to hand me tools. God's about to hand me gifts. God's about to impart stuff to me. God's about to give me miracles for other people. God's about to loose dimensions into me that I'm not aware of, but I'm just making myself, as we say in Spanish, disponible, available, in order to position myself for what God is kind of wooing me to move upon. When I feel that movement, I know it's time to align. I don't ask questions. I just start repenting and say, God, if there's anything that has tripped my mind or troubled me, not because I went out and sinned, not because I went out and committed some horrible error, no, because I'm trying to clear the path of whatever I heard on the news or whatever I heard in some discussion format online or whatever I saw on YouTube that wasn't sin. It just took my attention a different direction. And so I'm aligning my thoughts, my spirit, my heart, instead of being self-consumed with all the stuff that's bothering me, I disconnect from all the stuff that's bothering me. There's no frustration there. There's no irritation there. There's no anger there. I've never finished repenting and said, I'm ticked off. Not once have I ever done that. Why? Because repentance puts you in a place that the world, hell, and your flesh can't even recognize. But God recognizes it so clearly. Oh, you have to understand, the concept of repentance has been great up to this point, but God needs more space. The problem is he doesn't have enough room right now. And he's not able to impart everything he has for your life because the trajectory that we put before God is so small. The platform is so small. The platform is basically wrapped around our conditions. Can I get a witness? That's the way we're approaching God. And God says, I have a volume of stuff I want to unloose on my last day church. And you're giving me a funnel that's about this big. What repentance does is it stretches the funnel. So I want you to raise your hands. Don't bow your head. Raise your hands. Lift up your face straight up to heaven. Look God face to face in this atmosphere and say, God, even if there is sin in your life, you throw that before God. You cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's that action I'm talking about. And right now, before the Lord, say, God, here it is. Everything that has disturbed me, everything that's bothered me, everything that's been an interruption, that has tried to steal my time, that has tried to steal our love relationship, that has tried to steal away, God, by condition of the earth, by condition of what's around me right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I disconnect from it through repentance. God, I repent for every evil way, every display that's of grief, every display that's of anguish, every display that's of heaviness. I let it go. I disconnect from it. I will not have the appearance of grief, of pain, of heaviness upon me. I disconnect from it. That's the appearance of evil. God, I repent from the very appearance of evil, from the very appearance of grief, of heaviness, of pain, of cause and effect. That's it. Open your mouth. That's it. Lift up your voice. That's it. Make access. That's it. That's it.
Listen, I don't know who Dale is. Who's got somebody named Dale in their family? Raise your hand. Anybody? I want you to go tell Dale deliverance just came to his house. I want you to go tell Dale deliverance just came to his house. I don't have to know who it is. Doesn't bother me. Why? Because I wasn't thinking of Dale. I don't have anybody. I don't even have a friend named Dale. But God does. And God just said, Dale, it's over. So take that, Dale. Online, I don't know where you're at. But I'm telling you, I don't get names very often, but I just got one. I can count on one hand the times I got a name. Why? He says, when you do this, prepare yourself. Why? Listen to what Isaiah says. It's not what he's getting rid of. He says, the voice of one crieth in the wilderness. When that happens, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. Here's the result. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. He said, when you see this coming, know stuff's about to change, not by what he's getting rid of, but by what he's introducing. Every crooked shall be made straight and rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. You ever seen the glory of the Lord? My wife and I both have, not just in Papua New Guinea. We were in Pasadena, Texas. We used to go to 6 o'clock prayer meetings in the morning. Brother Glasses, Artist Glasses Church. And we'd go pray, and my wife, like I told you how she is, and she was sitting there, and she said, you could feel it. People started dancing and praying and worshiping. Honey, let me tell you something. If you're dancing and praying and worshiping at 5 in the morning, it's God. For me, it is. I'm telling you right now. I don't get up for many at that time of the morning, but I was up, and man, you could feel it. Everybody was praying. It was rocking and rolling in that house. Glory to God was moving. People started dancing, and I looked over. My wife was sitting on the second row. She said, I kept rubbing my eyes. She said, because I thought, what is this? What's wrong with my eyes? Let me tell you something. When you start entertaining this, don't be shocked at what shows up. When you start entertaining this, don't be shocked at what shows up, because it won't be hell. It'll be heaven, and heaven's going to start manifesting itself in your houses, not just in the services. It's going to start going home with you. It's going to start showing up in your prayer closet. It's going to start showing up in manifested form. Why? Because it's the only way that God can shock this last day world to get its attention to turn toward heaven one more time before we get out of here. She said, I rubbed my eyes, and then I realized it's not my eyes. You ever drive down the road in the heat of the summer and you see those waves, heat waves? She said, that's exactly what it looked like. She said, the whole building was filled with it. Lasted for 10 minutes. I'm just checking you. See how you respond to that story because of the next one I'm about to tell you. He just kind of looked at me like, huh? Stop trying to explain it. Start entertaining it. This one might freak you out then. I tell you, when glory comes, it does some amazing things. And God's not out of order. I'll save that story for some other time, but I'll tell you this one. You ain't ready for that other one, I'll tell you right now. I've had some crazy things happen to me. How old are you? 14. When you turn 16, the Spirit of the Lord will come to you. And he's going to visit you with a special anointing. So God's giving you 2 years to prepare. So you start praying, you start fasting. And God's going to impart something to you so he can use your life for his kingdom. But he's telling you now because of what's coming to you then. And God's giving you a timeline because he wants you to be in a right place to receive everything that he's already determined to give you. You understand me? So you pay attention the next 2 years. It's very important. But, my God in heaven. We were in Papua New Guinea. There were 7,000 people there. Billy Cole was leading the meeting. This is many years ago. And we literally saw the physical glory of God in the form of a cloud that was big enough to cover 7,000 people. There was no clouds in the sky. There were no clouds. It was perfectly blue skies. We had gone through a storm. All the clouds had left. It was Sunday evening. They had just preached on repentance. Matter of fact, there was a politician there. I'll never forget his testimony because it kind of blew me away. They let him say something, and he said, "No." All he said was, "Please pray for me. I am a sinner." I thought, wow. That's profound coming from a politician. That's profound coming from anybody. And I thought, wow, this is a unique service. We got done with repentance, and of course, the ground was still soiled because of the rain from 2 days ago when the devil literally came in and tried to shut the meeting down. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but we prayed through the night because we really felt a burden that we should pray until something was broken. So we prayed from 11 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning because some things take time. I mean, if you'll stay up all night for a crying baby, you ought to stay up all night for the glory. Come on, I mean, we either are or are not. Honestly, don't you think? Come on, if you'll watch 4 hours just to watch Atlanta lose, why can't you pray 4 hours? You think I'm joking with you? I'm not joking. I prayed 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. I'll tell you, stuff shows up in that time frame that you can't even articulate properly. And I'm telling you, somebody's going to break into this in this house. And when you do, God's going to, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. God's going to break off on you. He's going to break out on you. And God's going to start displaying stuff that you can't even possibly properly articulate. Oh, clap your hands. That's just an invite to somebody. Glory, 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 glory. I hope this is okay, Pastor. If you need to cancel on me, you can. I wouldn't be offended. I'm not trying to be mean. I just know what I'm feeling in this house. And I know what I'm sensing. What I'm sensing is loaded. And God's got something on his mind that he's trying to give, but he's got to find a body that he could facilitate it on. We're standing in that atmosphere, and I look over Brother Cole, and he hits me on the side. He says, "Brother Eli, look at that cloud coming." And I looked over, he said, "That is the glory of God." He blew my mind. My simple North American brain is trying to facilitate. He just said, "That's the glory of God." And I'm watching this cloud as it's coming over the Colosseum's top. With a top they didn't struggle opening because they didn't have a top. And here comes the glory, and it covers all 7,000 people, and it lowers on top of us. It's, I don't know, 100 yards, 100 feet up. I can't tell. You can't tell the difference of space between that, but I could tell it was the glory because I couldn't stay still. I was shaking like a leaf. I fell to my knees. I was just uncontrollably. It appears to me that when glory hits, people fall out by reason of the power that showed up because the priest couldn't even get in the house to minister when the glory hit. It doesn't appear that we've touched glory very often. Not talking about falling down. I'm talking about being so overwhelmed with such a power of God that you can't even sustain it through your physical body because your legs give out from under you because there's nothing left to sustain you because the glory's so strong. That's what was there. That's what was upon us. And it just, as it stayed there, people, the missionary ran to the microphone. He told them, "Look up, that's the glory of God. It has come on top of us." People started running and dancing and shouting and rolling on the ground. It was crazy. For the next 25 minutes, the cloud stayed on top of us. I mean, we worshiped till there was nothing left. We were wiped out. And when we got done, we watched the cloud disappear right before our eyes. that God, my brain said, did you just really? I mean, your brain's trying to put it somewhere. You're not used to that. Your brain's thinking, wow, that's amazing. But where do you put it? You can't have any space to put stuff like that until you properly align yourself. Because alignment brings fresh capacity. Why? Because it disconnects you from the earth to heaven concept, and it connects you to the heaven to earth concept. What is that? That's the concept where you see things from a throne perspective and not a servant perspective, from a throne perspective and not a subject perspective. Ever gotten on a plane? Why does your house look so small? Because you just changed perspectives. God's trying to get his people in a habit. And the habit is, if you'll repent, you will stay aligned. Actually, that word sinner is amazing, because if you look it up in the Greek, the Hebrew is self-contained words. They don't need other words to help the word. Every word is self-contained. So when you speak in Hebrew, each word is like a container. It's self-contained. It doesn't need interpretation. If everybody knew Hebrew, nobody would have problems with doctrine. Because it's self-contained. When you say God, it's self-contained. There can be no other God when you say God. It's self-contained. He becomes everything at that point, because the word is self-contained. So when he uses the word sinner about repenting, he's talking about an individual that inside of those components, you see the guilt, he sees the deliverance. You see the condemnation, he sees there is therefore now no condemnation. He sees you see the atrocity, he sees the great deliverance. You see the labor, he sees the liberty. You see the pain, he sees the healing. You see the trouble, he sees the triumph. It's all self-contained. And what he's saying is, the moment you get aligned, the sin that was an atrocity, I now turn into the triumph that's your victory. The trouble that was your pressure now turns into the liberty that's your freedom. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain, every crooked, every rough, every. I will cause things to turn that could not be turned as you disconnect through repentance. And I looked at Isaiah 40, and he starts talking, and he doesn't stop talking for 26 chapters. I thought, oh my God, it's the same chapter where we get that scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's what's coming. They shall run and not be weary. That's what's coming. They shall walk and not faint. That's what's coming. Know what he does? He takes the next 26 chapters and he culminates, and he covers everything from redemption to rebuke, restoration, revival, reconciliation, recovery, renewal. You name it, it's there. Why? Because somebody gave access to the kingdom. Repentance is more than just an escape route. It's an access point that hell doesn't want discovered. The last time you repented just to clear space. Repented just to make room. Repented just to disconnect from this world and connect to another world. Paul said, I die. Understood and exercised it. He used in different contexts there when he says that. But Jesus said, if I like this seed go under the earth and I die, he said, what's going to come out of that? He was talking about his crucifixion. He was talking about his resurrection. He said, if you put that thing into the ground and it dies, he said, it's by itself. He said, but what I'm trying to explain to you is, if you go through this process, there's a resurrection in every repentance. Something is about to resurrect in your life in the next few minutes. Something is about to turn that could not turn because you're finally going to get your hands off it. Just saw you, ma'am. I'm not going to go to you. I'm not going to point to you because what I just saw needs to be dealt with you and the Lord at this altar this afternoon, and God is going to untie what you cannot in your brain figure out how to untie because it's gone so long, it's raveled. Don't try to think who it is. That's a mistake. I can read you like a book right now. Don't do that. Leave it alone. Why? Because you have yours. You have yours. You leave that alone. I'm telling you, God's about to deliver the person I'm talking about. And he's about to set your mind free. That's where it's at. That's where the wrestling match is. You've tried to untie it several different times and it didn't go away. It's going away. And when it comes mentally, because you can't get it out of your brain, when it comes mentally, it will become a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. And God's about to heal that part of your mind. See, everything you go through in atrocity, God will heal it and make it like steps, like a ladder. And he'll make you go up with it instead of you being brought down with it. God. Let's stand. He said, I'm about to lose something into you. By the time he gets to Isaiah 66:22, he says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make at that time, they're already made at this time. So think about how far we've progressed. He's already made a new heaven. I believe that. He's already made a new earth. Brother Reeves got to go see it, and then he got to go see it again. And then he stayed there the last time. And I'm like, that seems a little unfair. I'd like to go take a trip before I die. I have to take one. I want to take another one. Get excited about this kind of stuff after a while. I'm not a freak. That's my wife. She's a sweetheart. But I'm not a freak. I just love Jesus, and I just want access to everything Jesus has for us. And did you know one visit in a holy place with God will handle a whole lot of junk in your life in a matter of 20 minutes or less? You just have to position yourself and then let the Lord do his thing. And when the Lord does his thing, you say, Pastor, you know what? I had other ideas in my mind, but you'll never have trouble with me again. I've been with the Lord. I don't have any more issues, Pastor. God took care of so much stuff in such a short amount of time. There's such a strong witness of the Spirit of God. Somebody said they saw healing coming out of, not me, it was the anointing that's upon me right now. I know I'm anointed by God. I know that part. But what I'm trying to tell you is something got loosed in this atmosphere and it's still lingering. It's been lingering since this morning. And stuff is coming into your physical body, your emotions. Going to formulate things in you, bypass your brain so your brain won't get in the way and say, well, I don't know how that can happen, and gonna attach them to your spirit so they can metabolize into your real world over the next several days and weeks. When God starts doing stuff like that, it's like atmosphere being attached to you. And everything that came against you stops having its same pressure effect. Does that make sense to you? Where the effect of the pressure before loses its ability to press on you. That's what's going to happen to you in the next few minutes. God's taken a bunch of stuff that has pressured you. So don't invite it back in. repent. If your mind starts wanting to invite it back in, repent. Keep it disconnected. You with me? And I want you to make way to the front if you possibly can, everyone. Make way to the front if you possibly can.